Before we get into the Word, I just want to ask those of you who responded to the Word that was shared last week and have taken the steps that were presented. Do you have a testimony of anyone who responded to that Word and can share with us some of the signs that followed the implementation of that Word? Anyone? Could we get her a microphone? Please. Thank you.
I really didn't want to go. They made me. Okay, so last week, Pastor was talking about breaking strongholds. So I responded. And I was listening to the steps, writing the steps, and the one step I wanted to ignore was, go talk to your parents. I didn't want to do it. So I was like, well, I'll just skip all those, and I'll do the rest, and I'll be fine. But later that day, me and my mom was just talking in the kitchen, and I'm nervous. We were just talking in the kitchen, and I just kind of threw it out there to see what she would say. And she's like, she's talking, and she's like, wait, what did you say? And I was like, well, I just told you, I'm released. And she's like, no, you didn't tell me anything. So I had to explain to her what was going on and everything I had to deal with that I didn't want to deal with. Immediately, I felt released. I felt released. I felt good. But now I had to wait for her response, and that was a scary part. So here we go. I was standing there, and she looked at me, and she's like, well, let's do it together. And she's like, let's get some scripture verses. We'll work on it and things like that. And immediately I felt so happy because I didn't know how she was responding. That's the only part that's scary. Like, if you know my mom, she's spicy. So I was definitely scared. She's not looking at me yet. But I was definitely scared. And immediately I felt released. And then I started, me and Kizzy get up every day at 5:30. We read the Bible. So I started working on the scripture verses and meditating on things. But I felt released. Like, I was able to be a youth leader on Friday. I was able to do what I was supposed to do during the week. I also teach dance here. So I was able to be freer than I usually am just because I started working on it. I'm not saying it's finished yet, but just because I made that step to talk to my mom and I've been avoiding it, I feel better. I feel released. I feel wanting to serve God. I feel like I'm whole. So that's how I'm
saying.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And one of the most difficult parts is always to reveal it to your authorities. And that's the one part the enemy would always try to keep you from doing it. You know, keep it from your authorities, because if you keep it from them, then that thing stays hidden. It stays in darkness. But once you reveal it, and I know what goes through our mind. Well, you don't know my mom. You don't know my dad. I can't share this. But you run and you share with your friend and share it with this one and that one. And then you still continue in the same thing over and over. See, you've got to take God's word, what it says. God is God. And He knows best. And sometimes when He tells us to do things, sometimes we just don't understand, because we are seeing it usually from our perspective. You and I don't see everything. We don't know everything. We don't know what's going to happen next week. You know, but God knows. And He's willing to share with us for us to take those steps. Young people, run to your authorities. Run to them. You know, sometimes, you know, our young folks are doing things. And I'm talking about, when I say our, what do I mean by our? I'm talking about church people, church kids. You know, many times church kids, they do things. And they put on a face before their authorities, and they put on a face basically within the church. And then they go out, and then they live ways that are not pleasing to the King. You know, the Word says, you know, that we know when we deal with character, character is what you do when no one is looking. And that's what God is interested in. Believe me, you don't fool anyone. We don't fool anyone. If I have things in my life that I hide, it will be exposed. And one of the ways that they're exposed is by the torment that comes along. Remember the man who had the debt forgiven by the king? You know, millions of dollars of debt forgiven by the king, went out, found a man who owed him the equivalent of $20. And he was just forgiven. But yet, he got that man, put him in jail, because that man owed him $20. You know what he said? His thinking was, it's people like you that has caused me to owe the king. That's his thinking. That was his thinking. It's people like you. It wasn't for you. If you didn't do so and so, if you gave me my $20, then I'd be able to give the king his million. Yeah, that, you know how foolish that sounds. But we do that. And we come up with all kinds of excuses. And the reason is those excuses are not from... they're not really your excuses. They're the excuses that the enemy presents to you. And then you receive those thoughts as your thoughts. And then it intermingles with your emotions. And it brings torment and fear, you know. You can't say that. You can't tell your parents that. You can't tell your pastor that. You can't tell your, you know. No, you can't do that. Adults, they don't understand what we go through. See, all kinds of excuses that the enemy puts there. And then when we absorb them and when we accept them and believe them, then they bring us in bondage. But you can be free because there's no one that loves you more than your parents. You say, well, they don't show it. Well, even if they don't show it, your protection is still God. This is God. This is your parent. This is you. It is a whole in their authority. God says, I've got you covered. So no matter what, you'll do all right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I just want to reiterate a few steps. What I want to talk to you about today, I want to speak about mainly the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the wealth of the Holy Spirit. The wealth of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book of Genesis, when we start reading in Genesis, every time I pick up my Bible to study, I always end up in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and sometimes chapter 2. Chapters 1 and 2, I always end up in those two chapters because everything that we do goes back to the beginning. Everything. If you want to know the purpose of God, it's there in the beginning. If you want to know what the will of God is, it's there in the beginning. Whatever that you want to know, it's right there. And when I was reading this, you know, in reading Genesis 1, I recognized how many times, again, God said, I recognized how God brought things into existence. And I also recognize a verse. Verse 2, I recognize in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. And then later on, when it speaks of, let me just find the verse, of the river in chapter 2. In verse 8 it says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pishon or Pison, that is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. It goes on. But I looked at the river and I'm saying, well, why is God talking about the Spirit hovered or moved upon the face of the water? And then it says this river is coming. This river is in the garden and it is flowing in the garden, and then it parts into four heads, and it gets to this place Havilah, or it reveals this place Havilah, where there is gold. And so based on the study that I was doing before, I use a lot of symbols from the word. The river, of course, is representative of the river of life. The river, the water that flows, it represents the life of the Holy Spirit. And this river revealed the land of Havilah, where there is gold. But what's the sense of that? Why is that important to be announced in Genesis chapter 2? The river revealed the water. Reveal the goal. And so the title of the message is the wealth of the Holy Spirit. The wealth that is revealed by the Holy Spirit. And it's all truth being parallel, just as the river, which represents the Holy Spirit, reveals the wealth of the land, so too the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the wealth of the earth. Yes. Your earth. Yes. What is your earth? Your earth. Your earth. Your ground. Your soil. Is your soil good or bad? Good. Your soil is good, isn't it? Yes. Your soil is good earth, good ground. Your soil, your earth, is actually the kingdom of God that is placed on the inside of you. That's your kingdom. That's your earth. You know, Jesus made an illustration in Isaiah chapter 55. It speaks of as the snow comes from heaven and the rain, and it waters where? The earth. The rain comes and the snow, and it waters the earth, so that, you know, this verse, Isaiah 55 verses 7-11, we talked about it a few weeks ago. As the rain and snow comes from heaven and it waters the earth, so that the earth does what? Huh? Say it again. So that the earth buds and flourishes. The earth buds and flourishes. In other words, the earth is what buds. The earth is what flourishes. The earth is what produces or brings forth. See, he makes the parallel. He says, so is the word of God. When the word of God is planted in the earth meaning good ground, good soil, when the earth is planted in good soil, it always causes the soil to produce. The soil is not the earth as we're thinking of. The soil for the believer is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is what produces. See, so the river, meaning symbolizing the Spirit, symbolizing the Word, you know, the river, the water, comes and it waters the earth. The earth is the kingdom of God. And it causes the kingdom to bud. It causes the kingdom to bring bread to the seed to the sower and bread to the eater. When God got you and me into His kingdom, He took His kingdom and placed His kingdom in us. So you are in the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is within you. And in the kingdom, we have read and learned, according to 2 Peter, that everything that pertains to life and godliness is in that kingdom. So if you want the kingdom to bud, if you want the kingdom to flourish, that's what has to flourish within you and me. It's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, it's joy. That's all found in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has a role. Just as the river revealed the gold that was in the land of Havilah, so too the Holy Spirit reveals the things that are in the kingdom of God. And all the wealth of the kingdom must be revealed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God works hand in hand with the Word of God. That's why when you go back to Genesis and you read Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the water. So you have the role of the Spirit of God moving on the water, and then it says, and God said, let there be. See, the operation, the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you can't separate them. They work hand in hand. They work together. So when you and I take the Word of God and we apply the Word of God into the earth meaning the kingdom within us, then it will bring forth, it will flourish and it will bud. And it will bring forth everything that is within the kingdom. Amen. Are you with me here? The Bible is simple. Amen. It's simple when we allow the Holy Spirit to be our interpreter of the Bible. When He interprets the Bible, it's very, very simple. When we try to interpret it, of course we use our natural understanding, things that we understand, and then we try to put them and pit them with the Word of God. Say, well, okay, this is the way that this is supposed to happen. And usually what we do is that we go back to our experiences, the things that we know, the things that we've learned, and we try to take those things, and then we try to identify the kingdom based on that. So most of us limit God and His kingdom based on our past experiences. Well, this is the way we do it, or this is the way we did it. See? But that's not, you know, that may be the way that you've done it. As a matter of fact, when Moses parted the Red Sea, you know, when Joshua had to go across and take the folks over the Jordan, he didn't go and find a stick or a staff like Moses did and then lift it up and say, okay, you know, whatever Moses did, you know. Not because it was done that way means that it's going to be done this way the next time. Because God is, you know, I mean, He's so full of creativity and wisdom. And a lot of times He does things so that our enemy is more baffled than we are. Because He does it differently all the time. Aren't you grateful for a God like that? So we must not limit God to our past experiences. We must not say, well, this is the way it was done back there, you know, so this is the way it's going to be done here. Because God does not always function in that manner.
So what he does is that he says to us, well, I have given you mysteries. I want you to read a couple of verses with me. And let me get my notes together here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Do you have it? Okay. Now, if you have King James, then you can read. If you don't have King James, then you can listen. Simply because, you know, the translations are just a little slightly different, and we don't want it to sound like confusion. But would you please read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, begin from verse 7 for me. Ready? Begin. Okay, stop there for a moment. And help me along. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Here's what I want to do. I want to read, and every time I read, I'm going to emphasize a word. Every time I emphasize a word, I want you to tell me what it means to you. Alright? Every time I emphasize a word. But we speak the wisdom of God. What does that mean to you? But we speak the wisdom of God. What does that mean to you? We. The body of Christ, the redeemed, the believers. Everybody's in agreement with who the we is, right? But we speak the wisdom of God. Okay? Let me read again. But we speak the wisdom of God. What do we speak? Okay. If you're speaking the wisdom of God, what are you speaking? Okay, so we speak the word of God. In other words, whatever God says, that's what we say. Okay? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What does that mean to you? You just told me who the we was. You just told me that we speak the word. What does it mean then, we speak the word in a mystery? We have a tendency to speak it in a hidden way. Okay, anyone has something different? He says we have a tendency to speak it in a hidden way, yes? Okay, the person receiving the word that we speak does not always understand what we sing because it's hidden. Okay, anyone else, yes? That we speak a heavenly language?
Well, a heavenly language...
Pertaining to this verse here. Now, don't do this. Don't go back in your mind and think of mystery in the sense... Keep it within the context that we're reading, alright? So, because if I say mystery, you could go to other things, but, you know... I don't want you to do that. I want you to just look at the verse that we're reading here. Well, really... Let me say it one more time. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Yes? Okay? So that's basically what you're saying, that the words that we speak, and that's what was said also about the hidden wisdom, right? We are speaking hidden truths, right? Which... Brother Raymond is saying that the mystery that we speak is not only to those, but it also sometimes it's to us. In other words, we don't understand it sometimes. Would you agree with that? All right. Well, let's just keep in... Yes, go ahead. Okay. Some mystery or purpose that was hidden, only God knew it until now. Okay? All right. All those can be put together, and you're getting a picture, right? You're understanding. Okay? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, so it's identifying that this wisdom is hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, why did God prepare this wisdom? Listen. Why did God prepare this wisdom? Just read. For our glory. Simple. Don't interpret. Just read. Let the Bible tell you. Why did God create this glory, prepare this glory? He prepared it for us. For our glory. Okay? What do you mean by glory? If He's prepared this unto our glory, what do we mean by glory? Our benefit. To our benefit. Because once you're benefiting by it, you know, it's all good. You don't benefit by things that are bad. Right? It's all good. It was created for you. It was created, prepared for you. This wisdom is prepared for you. Okay? Alright, so we're understanding it. And it says, it goes on to say, which none of the princes of this world, which is what Sister Kathy was saying, alright, none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, do you remember when Jesus was going to the cross, how many people tried to stop him, including his disciples? Lord, don't say that stuff, Peter told him. Don't say that stuff. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to be delivered to the hands of the, you know. Peter said, don't say that. Peter was adamant. And anyone who is looking at it from Peter's perspective would say, well, Peter was being kind. Or he thought he was being kind. But see, sometimes we can speak out of turn. If you don't know the whole situation, sometimes it's just better to hold your peace and wait until the wisdom is revealed. Are you with me? Alright? So Peter kind of spoke out of turn, and then Jesus had to rebuke him. So Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, reading that, you know, or putting that in our time, you know, someone says something and we rebuke them, you know, and then it would seem unkind. You know, Jesus calling Peter a devil? Yeah, that's not part of it. Let's go on. It says, but it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Now, before, we just read that God had prepared or ordained is prepared. So God had ordained or prepared this before the world, before the foundation of the world, even before the world was created. God had prepared this unto our glory. So this was prepared for us, unto our glory, for our benefit, right? And yet, we turn in the next verse, and it says, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for whom? But now he qualifies the us. He qualifies the us. He says, for them that love him. Now, he didn't say, for those he loved. Because God loves everyone. Even the unsaved. Even the sinner. God loves everyone. So he didn't say, this was prepared for those who God loves. This was prepared for those who love God. Now, if I say those who love God, how would you identify those who love God? Those that follow His command. If you love me, keep my word. So, when you and I are qualifying the word of God, don't think that every word of God is going to work for you because you are a believer. He qualifies it. This is prepared for them that love God. In other words, don't expect God to reveal hidden truths to you that were kept from the foundation of the world. Now He's going to reveal it to you just because you are born again? No, 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 no. That's why He said, if you are my disciple, if you continue in my word, then you really are my disciple. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's why the body of Christ can walk around you know, with mysteries in our hearts and in our lives and yet not understand them. And so we function in the same manner as those who don't know the mysteries, even though they're in you. Even though they're in us. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. And so sometimes we may just gloss over the pages and gloss over the Word, and then we take stuff and then we wonder, well, why isn't this thing working for me? I do this and I do that. Why isn't it working for me? Well, have you rightly divided the Word of truth? Have you allowed the Spirit of God, the river that's in you, the wisdom of God, the Spirit of God, to give you the understanding? Because the last time I read, it says that there is no private interpretation to the Word. So you can have 10 people read the Bible and come up with 10 private interpretations, but none of them would be right, because there is no private interpretation to the Word. There is only one interpretation to the Word, and the one who reveals that Word is the Spirit of the living God. End of story. So, the wealth that comes from the Holy Spirit is not given to everyone. It's not given randomly to every believer. That's why we have different stages in our walk. That's why we experience different things in our lives. Some of us are weaker than others because we have not been diligent enough to respond to God. Are you with me? That's why it's dangerous for you to compare yourself with somebody else. When you compare yourself with where you are as compared to where you ought to be in your fellowship and relationship with your King. That's why nobody should be able to put you in bondage. Nobody. Say what you want about me. I'll just keep my head straight and keep walking. Say what you want.
Yes.
See, because until you die for me,
come on now.
And even if you die for me, your blood
come on.
Still isn't worth the blood that was shed on my behalf.
Yes. That's it. Tell the truth now.
Can you follow me?
Yes.
So don't let anybody put you in a box or in a cage. You want to be free in God. You know, now see, I'm going to qualify it. You see, I'm going to qualify it because I'm qualifying here. These hidden mysteries are not given to everyone. They're given to those who love the Lord.
Amen.
Who loves the Lord? Those who keep His Word.
Amen.
So you can't be living in any old how and expect to get mysteries from God, hidden truths. You're kidding yourself, not God. Certainly not kidding me or your neighbor. You're kidding yourself. You're not kidding me, your neighbor, or God. So who are you kidding? You're kidding yourself. You put yourself in a position where when you put the Word of God to work and you're quoting a word from the Scriptures and it is what's written, and you say, well, look, it's written so and so. Yeah, but have your conscience condemn you so that you have no confidence in what is written. And so you might be parroting it and saying it and saying it and saying it, and yet there is no manifestation of it because there's a problem. You with me here? All this are just a little section of Scriptures. But we want to read, and we want God by His Spirit to interpret. The Holy Spirit is the one that is sent to reveal the mysteries. Just as the river flowed and it revealed the wealth of the gold in the land of Havilah, so too it's the river flowing that comes to the heart that reveals all the wealth that's in the heart. The heart being the kingdom of God, the good soil that is within you. There's good soil that's in you. It's the kingdom of God. All you need to do is to get the Spirit of God to give you a seed and let the seed be planted in that good ground, which is the kingdom. And then it will cause the kingdom. The kingdom is the thing that will bring forth. You see, because everything is in the kingdom. Peace is in the kingdom. Joy is in the kingdom. Love is in the kingdom. Wealth is in the kingdom. Everything is in the kingdom. The kingdom is inside of you. But if you and I don't know how to get to the kingdom and release what's in the kingdom, if we don't know that, we live mediocre lives and then we are beaten down by the enemy. And that's not what God wants for us. You know that. He wants us to experience all the riches of His glory. Everything. He says, I created this for you. I want you to be with me. Jesus says, I'm going to sit in my Father's throne. You're going to sit right there with me. He says, all that the Father has is mine. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who's going to take everything that belongs to me and reveal it to you. And it's going to be yours too. I need you to be part of me. Therefore, I've called you my body. I'm the head, you're the body. So you see how important we are to God? See, and we want to recognize this. This is hidden wisdom. This is hidden truth. It's not hidden anymore because we know it, right? It's only hidden to those who don't belong. Those that are perishing. Those are the ones that it's hidden from. So if you're not getting it, you're perishing. Now, I didn't say you're going to hell. I said you're perishing. Meaning that you're not experiencing that particular thing in your life. Remember, it's by these promises that you and I are made partakers of the very nature of God. So the more you partake of that promise, the more like God you become. The more like God you look. You walk around saying, my name is Anthony Christ. Christ being my last name. Anthony Christ. Is that your last name, Christ? If it's not, you should make it your last name because it means the anointed one, right? It means the anointed. Are you anointed? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He has anointed me. For you need no man teach you anything. For the anointing that is in you teaches you all things. The kingdom is in you. The anointing of God is in you. The Spirit of God is there to take all that stuff and to reveal it to you. You and I are rich. We are prosperous. We are full of abundance. But now, if you and I don't allow these mysteries to be revealed, then we continue to walk as the children of the world. Again, I'm not talking about your salvation. I wouldn't even mess with your salvation. But salvation means wholeness, soundness. You see, you know what's great about this? Look at the person next to you. It has nothing to do with that person. I have a wonderful wife. Brother Richard, what does that mean? No, he's just saying that. Me too. That's what that means, me too. I have a wonderful wife. I love my wife. She's the only woman in my life. But if she decides to go to hell, she's going alone. Right? She's going alone. And I'm sure she's saying the same thing about me. If he decides to go to hell, let him go. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just saying that this does not depend on the person next to you. This is all about you. You and your King. The one that lives on the inside of you. No one is going to go before God in peers. So I'm not going with my children. Come on, kids, let's go. Come on, Curtis, let's go. We're going before the Lord. Now Curtis got to go for himself. I got to go for myself. Are you with me? So what I do behind closed doors and what I hide, Curtis might not know it. I'm not affecting Curtis. Not directly. I'm affecting me. Now Curtis comes along and he begins to get mysteries, hidden truths from the Spirit of God that's revealing to him truth. And now he begins to take that truth and apply them. Then Curtis surpasses me and goes in lifestyle. He goes, he surpasses, he goes on and goes on, continues. Me, if I want to keep playing the fool, and I play the fool and stay where I am, remain a midget. Am I born again? Well, if Christ is really in my life, I am born again. You know. But I could. Do you know of anyone that's been born again for 20 years and is still in the same position? And then someone who's born again just 6 months and they seem to have such much more maturity than that person that's been in the Lord for 20 years. How could that be? It's what you apply. Isn't this good? I think it is. So I wanted to emphasize that this where it says the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them. Here comes the us again. He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Who is the us? No, you gotta clarify. Huh? Us that love Him. You see, it says has revealed. What tense is that? That means it's already done. So if you don't know it, then it has not been revealed to you. Well, because you've not applied. Right? If I don't apply what God has said, it's not revealed to me. Now, of course, you understand that's why it says it's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So our lifestyle is like this, moving from one level to another level to another level to another level. That's how we should be walking. In other words, you shouldn't be getting upset and irritated by the things that you have already overcome.
Amen. That's true.
Huh? I mean, you shouldn't be going around in a cycle. Oh, gee, I did this last month. I did it last week. And I'm faced with it again. And I'm so weak. I just can't. Lord, help me. I won't get any help like that. I won't get any help like that. I'll show you why in a minute. But anyway. So, it's a wonderful thing here where it's talking about, it says, I have not seen nor ear heard. Well, verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Okay. Who searches the deep things of God? Who? The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. Who searches the deep things of man? Huh? The man's spirit. Right? The next verse says that. The man's spirit searches all the things that's in the man. Just like the Spirit of God searches all the things of God. In other words, the Spirit of God knows all the things of God. The Spirit of man knows all the things of man. Right? Be made just like God. Be made just like God. Same way it works with God, the same way it works with us. Same way things are created with God, same way things come into being with us. God said, because the Spirit moved. As soon as the Spirit moves us, we say. Then it comes. Same thing, same operation. Who knows the things of God except the Spirit of God? Who knows the things of man except the Spirit of man? When the man becomes born again, his spirit is now joined to God's Spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So now in your spirit, everything that's in the kingdom, that's where the kingdom is, everything is in there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, loving your enemies. Something that's so hard to do becomes easy. Everything is in that in that kingdom, in that spirit. The Spirit of God, your spirit, hooked together, joined together, one spirit with God. That's the way it is. However, the same way, that stuff that's in the kingdom has to be brought out. It has to be revealed to you. Now, when it says revealed to you, we're talking about revealed in your soul. Your mind has to understand it. Your will. And you have to make decisions about it. Your mind, will, your emotions have to be brought in line with it. So the Bible tells us, it says, Paul prays, he says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. In other words, once I found out that you were born again, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. Hallelujah. And this is, here's what I was praying. I was praying that the Lord God, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, that is to know things like God knows, and revelation, or to see things like God sees and know things like God knows. In the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding, your mind, that's the soul part of you, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that's when you would know stuff. See, even though you know it in your spirit, because your spirit is joined to the Lord and is in one spirit with God, it must be revealed through the windows of your soul. It must be revealed or brought into your mind, so that you could understand it. Once you understand it, then your will agrees with it. So you make decisions in line with it. Your emotions come in line with it. It's subordinate to that. And your mind, will, and emotions. Will make decisions. Your mind conforms to it. Your emotions also. See, that's what takes place in your soul. Once that's taking place in your soul, your body will go along with whatever your soul is doing. So it says that God has revealed all this stuff to us by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gets all the wealth of God that's in the kingdom in your spirit. And gets that stuff and reveals it to your spirit. Your spirit in turn brings it to your mind, so your mind can understand it, your soul can understand it, so that you can now walk in this thing. You can now experience it. As long as it's in your spirit, but it doesn't get revealed to your soul, it's in there, but you don't experience it. Are you with me? That's why people can be born again, but not walk born again. And as a result, some of us die before our time. Some of us experience all kinds of difficulties and situations that we don't know how to get through them. Now, whether you're born again or whether you're walking in this or you're not walking in it, you are going to have difficulty. Because the Bible says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. So we're not saying that you're exempt from trouble when you're walking in this stuff. That's not what we're saying. All we're saying is that when the trouble comes, you know what to do. You know what James says? Look at James chapter 5. If you have the international version of the Bible, it calls the word trouble. It says the word trouble. I think it's verse 13, I'm not sure. What does it say? Who has the international? The new international. What does it say? Okay, that's the what translation is that?
NLT.
Okay, that's the NLT. Is any of you suffering? Hardship? Who has the NIV? I'm just looking for the one word. Yes? Stuff. That's the word I like because that's the word we identify with. Trouble
of this world. Trouble of this world.
Yes. Trouble! Do we have trouble?
Yes.
If you have trouble, what should you do?
Pray.
That's what it says there. Pray. Unfortunately, those who don't have the Word of God, when they have trouble, they groan
and moan and complain.
They moan and groan and complain. And every time you complain, only one person listens. Do you know every time you complain, one person listens? Who listens? Satan listens. You know why he listens? Because that's what he feeds off of. See, that brings fear, that brings everything that's contrary to God, so now he has ammunition to really work on, because his goal is to get the ground in your mind, to take jurisdiction of your mind. So though you're born again, he just wants to keep you there. But it says, if you get in trouble, you will experience trouble if you're a believer. You will experience trouble. But you know what to do. Pray. Alright? What are you going to pray? You're going to pray His Word. What if you don't know His Word? more trouble. Listen, God is so concerned about you, and He realizes that the Word of God is so important to you, and that the world that you live in, you know, you have situations that would hinder you from always knowing what the Word says. You will not always know what the Word says. Because you don't always study the Word. Now you should, right? You should. But, and you may be studying something, but it has not yet been revealed through the Scriptures to you. So God said, I'll fix that. He says, what I'll do, I will give you the Holy Spirit who knows the mind of God, and then I'm going to hook him up with your spirit, and your spirit would be the candle of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit would use your spirit to shed light into your soul and give you understanding and let you know those hidden truths, even though you didn't really study it in the Word. But when that happens, that particular thing would always be confirmed in the written Word. You see, because we don't always know all the stuff. That's why God gave to you His Spirit. And that's why He told the disciples, don't leave home without it. Now, He didn't tell them that. He said, don't leave the upper room without it. I was thinking of American Express. He said, don't leave the upper room until you are endued with power from on high. And then He gave them the Holy Spirit. Why did He give them the Holy Spirit? That's where the mysteries can be revealed. That's where the presence of God can be put in your life. Then He confirms it with an unspoken language.
Hallelujah.
No, sorry, not unspoken. Unknown language.
Yes.
Not unspoken. It's spoken.
Yes.
So it says, He that speaks in that unknown tongue does not speak to men, but He speaks to God. Howbeit in the Spirit, He speaks divine secrets. the stuff that we're talking about. God has given you the Holy Spirit that you might know all things that are freely given to you. Now we get this Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit of God, we get this heavenly language, and we use it once every month. That's what I said. No! Well, I remember the Apostle Paul making this statement. He went into the church at Corinth and said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you.
Hallelujah.
Could you imagine me coming in this church? That is very presumptuous, isn't it? But you know what? When Paul said that to the church at Corinth, he was able to say that because of their behavior, because of their level. He says, man, you know, when I should be speaking to you as unto mature, I've got to speak to you as unto babies. That's why he could say that, because he knows that his life exemplifies what he's talking about. Unlike their lives that exemplify something else. Their lives exemplified immaturity. So he could say, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Because it says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies and builds up himself.
Yes.
And these folks were not built up. These folks were not edified. Are you with me here? So God has given us this Holy Spirit, so that we could know everything that is freely given to us by God. God has connected His Spirit to our spirit. The Spirit is the one, like the river flowed in the Garden of Eden and revealed the wealth in the land of Havilah. So too, the Holy Spirit flowing through your spirit and bringing revelation and understanding to your soul will begin to reveal all the wealth of God, everything that's in the kingdom to you and me, that it could be demonstrated in this physical world. That's why God gave you that heavenly language.
Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's not given to you so that you can show the church how well you speak in tongues. I speak good in tongues. You want to hear me? I speak in tongues all the time. You want to hear me? Do you know, even speaking in tongues, if you speak in tongues without faith, you know, it's just a lot of noise. Hello. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Anything you and I do has to be done through the principle of faith.
Amen.
You could give. You can give. Look at me. You can give and it doesn't mean anything. You can give your body to be burned and it doesn't mean anything. You can donate your organs. When you die, it doesn't mean anything. You can go to church, and it doesn't mean anything. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This one life will soon be passed. It's only those things that are done in Christ will last. I didn't say for Christ. You have a lot of people doing things, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm just doing this for God. Did he ask you to? I don't care, I'm just doing it for him. Lord, I'm doing this for you. And so when you ever tell God that? You know, get angry with God because something's not working out right? And then you say, God, I'm doing this for you. The least you could do is to fix it. You ever talk to God like that? Someone says, no, I don't dare talk to God like that. No, but sometimes our actions show it. Oops. Oh, help us, Lord. I'm so grateful that God is so full of mercy and compassion that He understands. Boy, in my foolishness, you know, if God was the way I was, I would have been destroyed a long time ago. I would have wiped me out of the earth a long time ago. If I was like, if God thought the way that I think. Don't look at me like that. You would not be here either. As a matter of fact, me being the pastor, and I'm thinking like God, and you would have been gone a long time ago. I would not have had any children because they would have all been dead. Aren't you glad that God is not like, He doesn't think that way? You know, He's full of compassion and love. And thank God for who God is. I love Him. I appreciate Him. That's why I only think about what He says. I don't have to answer to anyone except God. But because I have to answer to Him, then He makes me accountable to all of you. I don't answer to any man. I just answer to God. So I can say that in a very arrogant way. You know? And when you say that, it doesn't mean anything. I answer to God. That's why I'm accountable to all that God has said. That's why I would be accountable to you. That's why when I live a holy life, God is glorified, but you are also blessed. Now, what would happen if next week it came out that I've been living a secret life and I have another woman and another group of kids that I've been doing this all the while that I was pastoring? Tell me, what would happen? What would you do? Brother Shiner said I would most likely run for re-election. Barbara would stone me. What would you do? Would you hang around here? Huh? You'd pray for me? You'd pray for those that were affected by it. And what would you do to me? Whoa. She says she'll tell them they're lying. Well, thank you for that vote of confidence.
Yes! Hallelujah!
But to say.
Yes, thank you.
You know, that can't be. That can't be. If Barbara would say that would be impossible. The reason being, I go to work, she's there. I go home, she's there. I go to school, she's there. So she said, that's impossible. Where did he have time to do that? But I would pray that, you know, say, that can't be true. That can't be true. But see, now I could fool somebody else, but I can't fool God. And certainly can't fool myself. So, you know, I got into meddling. I forgot where I was going, but and I yeah, I was. God is not like me. Thank God that He's not like me. I'm going to stop because I just went over my time, but. I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit is present. He's given to you for a purpose. That heavenly language that you're given is for a purpose. And it's to reveal mysteries, hidden truths that God has given to you. Therefore, it's vitally important that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, it's vitally important. It's vitally important that the heavenly language that God has given to you, that you use it every day. Every day. Because when things are dark, when things are when you're confused about certain things, when they're not quite making sense, then you need to draw from them. You need to call on, use that heavenly language that you have. Build yourself up. You need to build yourself up. You need to allow the Spirit of God to reveal truth to you.